Hello, heroes, and welcome to Backstory. I'm your host, Alex Roberts. Guess what, heroes? I am going to Gen Con this year. If you happen to be in Indianapolis, August 16th through the 20th, I would love to say hi. Honestly, getting to meet some of you was a major highlight of my first Gen Con last year. If you want to hang out, your best bet is to show up for the One Shot Network fan panel. That's at 7 p.m. on Saturday in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station B. That'll be me and the other show hosts talking about what we're up to and what we have planned for the next year at the network. It'll be very exciting and fun, and if it's anything like last year, probably very sweet and adorable. You'll probably want to join for the fan hangout after that as well. Even if you can't make it to the panel, come to the Trevi Marzio room in the JW Marriott to hang out with James and Kat and Jim and Pat and Megan and Pranks and me, and also a bunch of people who enjoy our shows. So if you like our shows, maybe you will become friends with them. Again, based on last year, it's a pretty good time. Other than that, I'll be spending most of my time helping out at the Pelgrane Press booth in the exhibitor hall. That's booth 1317. You may be interested to know that I'll have copies of Pelgrane's new printing of the hashtag feminism collection of nanogames, which, whether you order it online or get it from us at the con, will come with a little PDF supplement of 6 new nanogames, one of which is by me, and it's about getting hugged. Today's guest is video artist, journalist, and freeform designer, Banana Chen. You may be familiar with her games They're On to Me from the Imposters Collection, or The Other Place from the 2015 Golden Cobra Challenge. She and I had the chance to talk face-to-face, a rare treat for me, while I was in New York a few weeks ago, and we chatted about some recurring themes in her work and exciting plans for the future of game publishing. It was an absolute pleasure. Let's jump right in. Have you ever been interviewed before?
Good question. Yes, I was on Meg's show. Meg's podcast.
On Modifier?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, was that during The Imposters?
Yeah, it was.
That makes perfect sense.
It was with a bunch of other people, so Josh was there.
She does good group discussions in a way that I am a little bit jealous of. I want to learn from her.
Yeah, it went really well.
Are you nervous?
I usually am. I'm just like a nervous person.
But just like not more than usual. Yeah. Just like, oh, you like the default level of anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. That's like completely healthy. So here I am. You've generously invited me into your podcast studio, which sounds really good. Or your offices, your work's podcast studio. So this will sound, so dear listener, if that's it, that's why it sounds just ever so slightly better than a normal episode of Backstory. Please savor this moment. And we were just putting together stuff for this video shoot that you're doing for Ad Magic in a new game of theirs. So this is something that you are like kind of actively pursuing right now, is doing like promo videos and Kickstarter videos and stuff like that for games.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So tell me more about that. Why is that fun for you?
So video's always been something that I enjoy doing. I went to school for video art and I interned at MTV for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was like a really fun experience for me. And then ever since that whole thing, I just started doing video work as my full-time job, mm-hmm. and also video work on the side for Kickstarters through our business Game in a Curry.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. So I'm really interested in Game in a Curry as like just this kind of interesting model of like success in terms of games, like analog games journalism. And you have like, you have a lot of content and reviews, videos, like explanations about tabletop stuff and also digital stuff sometimes, and also like food and travel and like other kind of like geeky lifestyle stuff. What's the thought behind doing things in that kind of integrated way?
So initially what we were trying to do was we wanted to make a blog about everything that we liked. So we wanted to make a food blog, and we love curry, mm-hmm. so why not just make it about curry? And we also like gaming, so let's add that into the mix as well. Mm-hmm. And so that was our ridiculous moment of, we should do this. It's me and my partner, Herb. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of evolved into reviewing games and getting to meet like all the other people in the industry.
Right.
And now we're doing promotional marketing materials for fledgling game designers or, you know, bigger companies like Ad Magic or Mayfair.
Right, right. So for you, knowing that it's not like an end goal, but like an ongoing thing, when do you feel that Game Na Curry is successful? When, like, when are you like, ah, yes, we are doing what I would like us to be doing?
Ideally, I'd like to build a community. So that's my end goal. Like, I want to help, like, help the community in their own projects, whether it's, you know, in game design or, you know, if they want to, you know, create a video or something. That's ultimately the end goal. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are getting close to that, but we're not quite there yet in terms of, not everyone knows us, but we would love to just keep helping people.
Right.
And at a low cost, too. Like, accessibility is, like, a thing for us.
Yeah, right? You don't want to get so gigantic that then only, you know, wizards or whatever can afford you. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. What about a client for promotion gets you really excited? Like, what makes you go like, oh, yeah, this is someone who you, we really want to help out and really want to work with?
For in terms of video work, it's always we're always looking for people that are going to give us creative freedom. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I like to work with people who would just give me the pitch, give me what they want, and give me what they're thinking about, and translating that into something that I think would work with their project.
Okay.
So that's like, that's the way I work. For Herb, he usually deals with the buttons. So he does merchandising and he enjoys just taking orders and
specs.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right. And there's value in both those things. But it sounds like you would rather have like, tell me where you want to get and then I need to get there however I need to get there.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. For him, it's like more directional. For me, it's more like, let's just give me all the facts and I'll figure it out.
Is that part of why the business relationship works?
I think so. Yeah. For him, he focuses on, you know, all the buttons and all of that. Sometimes I take the orders, but we like to leave each other just in those, like, two worlds. So he deals with that and I deal with the videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get into gaming, what about video sparks your passion? Like, what about that format is exciting to you?
I think... So for me, the one thing about video that's really different from all the other sort of visual multimedia things that are out there right now is that it's like when you see a photograph, you don't really see, you know, it doesn't, it frames things. Video does that as well, but it frames things to create an even larger narrative. So it's a series of photographs that captures, like, you know, an entire set of stories. That's what I find is really interesting, but also that it also captures like series of emotions, not just one. Like, it's not stagnant, whereas, you know, a lot of visuals are. Like, I'm not trying to say that other forms of media are bad.
Yeah, but... But it's about, like, what is exciting to you and what works
right,
for you.
Yeah. But, yeah, with video, I find that, like, it's really interesting seeing how things evolve.
Right. Oh, okay. So it sounds like, to me, that sounds like that's about story. Like that video has this unavoidable, inherent story component in it.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this project that you've been doing recently where you're, like, doing this vlog, which is, like, this travel and food and, like, life and, like, like, it's such, like, a capital V, like, vlog, but is also a pervasive LARP about, like, a conspiracy and, like, your descent into, I don't want to say madness, but, and I don't want to spoil anything. People should, like, go to your YouTube page and check it out because it's great. But yeah, so is that then what what connects like video and LARP into this project?
Yes. So originally it was from, it's based off of my other LARP, They're Onto Me. They're Onto Me is a 12-day solo LARP where you're recording yourself on as like these alien parasites are taking over the world. But for this project in particular, I'm doing, it's more of like an endurance test for me. I'm trying to see if I can vlog for, I'm not going to say how long, but for like a long period of time and see if I can actually do it. This is going to be, so it started off as like a travel slash lifestyle type of vlog, and sprinkled throughout it are little Easter eggs of what's to come. So it starts with me going to travel and doing all this stuff. In the background, you would see these shadow people. And as the series progresses, there are shadow people in this world, and my friend Jeff has gone missing, and we don't know why. And right now, there is a cult that we're not sure what their intentions are, but something will happen. I'm actually not too sure what's going to happen either.
Right. So this isn't just, I'm doing this vlog and then I'm going to put a story onto it. It sounds like this is a LARP for you. Like there's, you are doing this role-playing thing. What does the work, if you can reveal this, what does the work behind the scenes to something like that look like? Like, are you planning things out in advance? Is there some sort of random generation? Is anyone else involved? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So it's similar to They're Onto Me in which there are, it's similar in that there are a series of questions that are asked every day. For this, it's a series of questions asked every week. So I have to answer them through vlog format. Sometimes I would ask my friends and I would ask them if they would like to guest star in a few episodes. But for this latest one, the prompt was that I had to introduce a group, hence the cult.
Oh, okay. So you're, it sounds like you're kind of just reinterpreting your own LARP to be a longer form and like slightly more loosely interpreted thing. Okay, cool, cool.
And it's also got this collaborative thing that I didn't think would happen, where if I'm stuck on a plot, then, like, say I don't know what's going to happen next, my friends would end up making up the rest of the story for me.
Because you have people on and they kind of like just LARP with you and then you're like, oh, that's good, I'll use that.
So we have no idea where the story's gonna go.
Other LARPers are great for that.
Okay,
so there is a collaborative element to that, which is not totally obvious, right? That's really neat. Okay, cool. I continue to be excited. And honestly, though, my favorite thing about the way that you're playing it right now is that, like, even without the like shadow people conspiracy thing going on, the vlogs themselves are just like, oh, this is just like nice stuff. And like, oh, I like this shot of this brunch. And like, oh, those are good tips for a post-convention day. Like,
thank you.
Like, this lifestyle vlog speaks to me. That's really fun. Have you gotten, I mean, we all know old Peter Giver, friend of the show, has this great actual play that he put on YouTube of They're Onto Me. Has anyone else sent you videos of people doing it, or are they just like, I need to keep this private?
There have been a lot. Like, surprisingly a lot. Yeah.
Are they just like all private, or like do people upload them publicly?
Some of them are public.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. So Josh would have a better idea of, Josh Jordan would have a better idea of who, of the list of people who have played this game. I've received a couple of private ones as well.
Wow, cool.
And yeah, they're really, some of them are really intense.
Yeah, I believe it. It's a very strange feeling when you make something like a LARP and then just kind of toss it out into the world and you're like, I hope someone plays this. I don't know if that will ever happen. Right. How does it feel when you actually get like, here's, yes, they did play it. Here's exactly how it went frame by frame and like delivered to your inbox. Like, That must be the weirdest thing to watch.
It's like a mixture of excitement and just being terrified. Because I don't know if, I mean, that's great that they played it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting, like, people to actually do this.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's a hilarious mode to work in, too, is, like, I just want to make this LARP and I'll throw it out there. And, like, oh, whatever, if people play it, they play it. Which, I don't know if everyone makes media that way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The game itself came out of, I guess, my own anxieties. So I was going through this period of time where I was just, where I was kind of anxious and I needed to get something out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this LARP about kind of being anxious.
So kind of that, freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah, freaking out that aliens are, you know, trying to you know, take over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting seeing like other people freaking out.
is it like good in like a, oh, other people feel this way? Because that can be very validating.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm not alone in this. Yay. Yeah.
It obviously speaks to people who are also just like anxious and confused.
Right, exactly.
Because I feel like The Impostors is a great example of this, actually, of this attraction that there seems to be in your work to the idea of being pursued or like in danger or surveilled or something like that. Like you have this other, I think it was a Golden Cobra game, this freeform game about like there being a mirror into this other world where there's a copy of you and it's like horrifying.
Right.
The other side or the other place?
The other place.
Yeah, that's what it is. I did my research. So where does the attraction to that come from?
As a very anxious person myself, I think I just like writing about being or feeling trapped or being trapped mm-hmm. with your own emotions and having other people experience that with you. That's sort of exciting to me. And with the mirror game, I've always been a fan of horror. Like, the horror genre has always been really fascinating to me. So that was something I wanted to incorporate in, and I've found that has been, spread throughout all my games.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're like, no, there that is again.
Yeah exactly.
So The Impostors was interesting because that was kind of an anthology project. Mm-hmm. Were you working with other folks on that? Just from a publishing perspective, how did you enjoy that? Like you and Josh working together to publish that anthology.
It was great. Mm-hmm. Josh was, he was so helpful and transparent about everything, which was, it was really refreshing because working in a corporate environment, you don't get that a lot of the time.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hint, hint. But yeah, it was great. Just great working with him. And I also did the video for The Impostors mm-hmm. and it was fun reading everyone else's stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Seeing how similar our work was,
mm-hmm.
that was interesting. And yeah, it was absolutely amazing working with Josh.
Oh, cool.
And everyone else, yeah.
Did you get to do like editing and development feedback on each other's work as well?
Yeah, Josh was great. He asked a bunch of people to playtest my game. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things he did. He had like this open call. So Ollie Pater played it. Tony Abad played it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked Jeremy Morgan to do the edits for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bit of feedback and it was just so easy, just mm-hmm. like working with them.
Not doing everything like alone. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good way to work actually.
Yeah. It's something I'm not used to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of freedom in just like doing your own thing and having your own vision and bringing right. that to life. But like, also, it can be totally miserable sometimes. Like, I think there's a reason why people make things like publishing companies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
So speaking of publishing, so this is like an exciting new possible angle for Game in a Curry.
Yes.
Where you've done reviews and like all kinds of interesting video content and that kind of stuff. But it sounds like you want to get into the business of publishing board games and possibly LARPs. Please tell me everything about this now.
Yes. So Game in a Curry, we are starting to publish a game, a tiling game. We have mm-hmm. a new project coming out and it's going to be released in November for PAX Unplugged.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so a couple of my friends wanted to, they had this game, they had this prototype, and they didn't know what to do with it. Mm. So we were like, hey, maybe we could do something with it. The game is called Yeah, Diamonds. It's a tiling game where each of the players are treasure hunters, and you're trying to collect as many gemstones as possible.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a cute little game for, I guess, kids ages 8 and up. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the games that we're looking into publishing. We're going to be doing like video reviews and, mm-hmm. you know, different marketing things for that. Mm-hmm. This is their first game.
Right.
And this is also going to be our first game, like our official first game.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're really excited to start on that project. For other projects, for our more role-playing projects, we mm-hmm. are looking into writing LARPs and publishing them in comic book format and seeing if we can deliver it through, you know, different means, like not your conventional board game store or role-playing game store, but yeah. maybe try to hit the comic book market as well.
Yeah. And that's very exciting to me because something I see right now is like comic book shops are not in great shape either. And so we can strike at their weakness. But a lot of the smart ones are starting to feature games and yeah. like sell games, right? Mm-hmm. So there, I feel like there's such a natural crossover there. And games like, you know, Mouse Guard or whatever that are based on comic book stuff, or I mean, even going back to all the Marvel role-playing games that have been hugely successful,
right.
like those markets seem to play really nicely with each other. So the yeah. idea of people being able to pick up a LARP in this like really friendly format is very, very, very exciting. What are you going to publish first?
So our first thing is my game, Welcome to New Jersey.
Right.
You are five friends who are, well, sorry.
You are five people.
You are five people. you may or may not know each other, but you are stuck together in a car driving through New Jersey to a gaming convention. But you are stuck in New Jersey and you keep cycling through this script. And every time you pass the sign that says, Welcome to New Jersey, weirder things happen.
Right.
So it gets more and more surreal.
Right. So it's this sort of spiraling narrative of like interpersonal awfulness and then
right.
also like the surreality kind of builds around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I got to playtest this at Big Bad and it was like such a delight. Oh my gosh.
Thank
so
you. Yeah. So that's going to be one of 50 games I'm going to be publishing.
Wow. Awesome.
Right. I'm trying to do the big goal is that I'm going to do one every quarter. So that's going to take about 12 years, I guess.
Sure.
But it's going to be one for each state.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So the one about New Jersey is just about being trapped
yeah.
in hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's coming next?
I think the next one is Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What does Pennsylvania bring up for you?
So this one's going to be called Bad Touch, working title right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you are psychics, and you're going to a flea market, and you're going to find things that speak to you, mm-hmm. and you're going to purchase them, and you're going to go back and do a seance and dispel the evil spirits from the thing that you've purchased.
So this is like a haunted doll game?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh my god! Oh, that was so much fun! Okay, so in the game, do you like actually go to a flea market and
yes.
find cursed objects?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That sounds really fun.
Thanks.
This brings up this other interesting thing, which is like that I've seen in the video project you're doing now, where it's like actually your totally normal life, and then you put this other kind of just like this little like furikake of like LARP on, just a little sprinkle on top, which makes me wonder like about your thoughts on the distinction between like LARP time and game time and like real life or the mundane world. Like, right. are you, what about that is fun to mess with?
I think I'm not very big on fantasy in general,
mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy, I wouldn't say surreal things, or surrealism in general, but things that are surreal happening in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that I've just always been fascinated with, just like weird things happening in normal life and trying to adapt or work around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think previously when I was doing a lot more video art, that was something that I played around with a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
For They're Onto Me, this was kind of like, it was sort of like a tribute to this other video artist that recently passed away, Vito Acconci.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like this inspiration to me, where he was like, a lot of his work, it wasn't surreal so much as it was just weird. Like you're in this space with him, and he would, one of his videos, he would wrap his body around the camera, kind of, and talk to you as if you were there in the room with him. But it was just a camera, and I always found that was like really, really weird, and I would love to have in my own work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That feeling of just like unsettling the viewer and not giving them what they expect from a video.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That sounds really interesting. Who else inspires you?
Of course, Jason Morningstar was like one of the first big inspirations in gaming.
Yeah.
But aside from him, in terms of, I think I take a lot of my inspiration also from like the internet.
Right?
Like vlogging and, you know, the whole YouTube world. That is so interesting, and like, it's so different.
It's just this infinite land of found art.
Right.
Like found video art.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What was the most recent like YouTube hole that you fell into?
I hate to say this, a guilty pleasure of mine is watching health vlogs, health and fitness vlogs.
Health and fitness vlogs.
And waiting for something to happen. Like, I know this is going to be so weird.
Oh,
so
my God.
That was the inspiration for this vlog that I'm doing right now.
Okay.
There's a whole series of vlogs called What I Eat in a Day, mm-hmm. or Day in the Life of. And I would follow some of these people. And they would have these perfect lives where they wake up, they go get an acai bowl or avocado toast. Because that is like the epitome of luxury for our generation.
Of course, yeah. It is all we can afford. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And they would like, you know, work out, go to the beach and come back and have, I don't know, grilled chicken on kale.
Yeah, yeah. And vlog about it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just these perfect little tidbits of what these people's lives look like, but I'm always expecting something big to happen. Like I'm always expecting, like, nothing emotionally bad, but, like, I hate to say this because it sounds so nihilistic, mm-hmm. but, like, a tsunami or something. Or, like, I don't know, someone's, like, following them or something like that. And I don't know, I guess that's just, like, my dark humor coming out.
So is the fun in, like, the anticipation that you're, like, projecting onto this? Or does that sometimes happen? Like, that must happen with people's vlogs, right? Where they're just, like...
I haven't seen it yet, so maybe it's waiting to happen. But I'm hoping that, like, if people want to start, you know, doing their own little narratives, they should definitely do that.
They should totally do that. And like, oh, because that would be amazing, right? That would, if like something huge happened in my life, changed totally, I'm going to like keep vlogging about it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It was just this abrupt tone shift. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the closest thing that I have seen on YouTube is I kind of recently got into watching these like reborn, unboxings. So reborns are hyper realistic baby dolls, like frighteningly hyper realistic dolls of babies, where they're like made of silicone and like very carefully hand painted, and they kind of just look like babies. And so the people who are really into them will like collect them, and they'll post videos of like them hanging out with their imaginary baby. or like unboxing their baby, which is a truly frightening thing to watch because they just like slowly, like it'll be like a 10-minute video, and then at the end you're like, someone mailed you a baby and the baby's not breathing.
Terrifying.
It's like really like surreal, and I don't want to like rag on these people because like whatever, man, like dress up your like imaginary baby, like live your life, dolls are fun. But after trying to figure out like, okay, what's this thing about, and then finding these people's vlogs, I found this subgenre of reborn videos that's like them complaining about ones that they got that they didn't like. So they'll just have these like angry videos where they're like, my baby arrived and it was full of dirt.
Oh my god.
They're like, they advertised it as filled with like sand and it got everywhere. And I'm like, oh, it's really scary that your baby was full of sand. Anyway, I'm like rambling way too much for my own show and I'll have to cut that down a lot, but I thought you might have like an interesting like version of that. That was like, here's my strange.
I would love to watch this.
Just start looking for reborns, and eventually you too will be seized by madness.
Definitely, I really want to watch this.
It's kind of like looking into real doll culture, but like less depressing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That I can deal with.
Should we make a reborn LARP?
Oh yes, yeah. Please.
Okay,
yes.
We'll do that. That'll be fun.
Definitely.
What other kind of stuff do you see yourself doing in the future in terms of like future projects that you would love to get in on?
I definitely want to keep doing these. Well, I'm definitely going to be doing the LARP, one LARP per state thing. I don't even know what to call it right now. It has a working title.
Say it.
It's so bad.
It's a working title. It's fine.
50 Shades of Consciousness.
Oh my god.
I didn't
a lot
come up
going
with
on
them.
There.
Right. Or sorry, 50 States of Consciousness. That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Did
yeah.
I say 50 Shades?
You did
sorry.
Say 50 Shades.
I meant
yep.
50 States.
I am not fixing that in post.
Great. So there's that. And I'm also doing, I want to do a series of actual play videos of other people's games that I really find, you know, impactful or interesting.
That makes perfect sense as someone who is like really into video art. What do you think that you could bring to that space? Because I feel like that's something that people are just starting to barely kind of dip into.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's really hard to make an actual play video.
Mm-hmm. Especially of like a live action game.
Yeah. It's pretty hard. But so one thing I'm going to be doing, and I've talked to Alex Carlson about it, and I'm doing an actual play of their alien invasion LARP from Golden Cobra.
Oh, is that the one where people are like in closets with their phones and they're texting each other? Oh, yeah. I played that. It was very frightening.
It's great.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't make it.
Right? I can't believe I didn't think about this. But that's why I'm doing actual play videos.
Awesome.
So what we're trying to do is we're purchasing all these cameras and we're going to be attaching them to people's phones, and we're going to have them play the game in their own individual closets.
Okay, and then you kind of stitch it all together where it's...
Right,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool.
So that's the big idea. Right now we have 3 cameras. We just need one more.
You just slowly accrue them over time. Like,
yeah.
Because people must buy those and then regret that purchase, right? Like, you should be getting them used. People must, like, why did I buy this thing? All
definitely.
The time.
Yeah. They're so cheap.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our other big projects that we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm. That's like a lot.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on, but I can't really remember everything.
You do a lot for someone with a full-time job. You got that New York energy.
We don't stop.
You went to VidCon recently, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you look so excited or terrified when I asked that.
It was a strange experience.
Okay, I want to hear everything about this because I go to gaming conventions somewhat frequently, and I always wonder, like, how much of the strange experience of that is, like, gaming, and how much of is it, like, it's a con, which is, like, this place, it's this liminal space, right?
Right.
So how did you experience VidCon as someone who is familiar with like gaming cons?
It's similar to Gen Con, minus the gaming.
Okay.
And tack on the like selfie stations basically everywhere. So
right.
The convention space itself, where all the different booths are, they're all larger companies like NYX Makeup or Adobe and Canon.
NYX?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I was confused by that at first, but I guess actually there's a lot of makeup involved in video work. So there you go. This tells you how little I know.
Yeah. And they had a whole setup. They had a stage. You would walk up and get a selfie with like a, you know, like a plastic lipstick thing. And you would walk off stage. They would apply lipstick to you. Uh-huh. And you would get two tubes of free lipstick.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
They get some nice shades.
Yeah. I got a black one and a purple one.
Ooh, nice.
They were nice. Yeah. They were really nice. And yeah, it was just like a lot of stimuli, like a lot of things happening. Panels. Panels were a thing.
Sure. Now, what's the difference between a VidCon panel and a Gen Con panel?
There are similarities. Mm. So there are panels about, like at Gen Con, you would see a panel sort of like, you know, gaming is other.
Sure.
At VidCon, you would have something similar, but instead of gaming is other, it would be like, what's it like being a YouTuber of color, or what's it like to be in this space that's open for everyone, but popularity, you know, things change, and how's that work with your own type of activism?
Mm-hmm.
Because being on camera in general, like for a person of color, that's considered activism in itself.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. The differences, I guess, or at least what I found, the biggest difference was that there was a lot of networking going on that you would never see at Gen Con.
Productive, helpful networking, or just like the grossest kind?
Like the grossest, most terrifying kind of networking. Whoa.
Thankfully, gamers are like way too shy and anxious to... Yeah.
Exactly. It was a lot of fun, though. I had a great time. But there was never any downtime. And that's something I think that gaming conventions would have.
Right.
Like you would have some downtime. You would have like a space to just hang out and chill by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At VidCon, they had these lounges. So you can hang out at the lounge, but there was music blasting and there was this whole booth with Dunkin' Donuts coffee and you can get free coffee.
Oh, dang. Well, there you go.
Yeah. And every time you tried to sit down and just like text or, you know, work on your own stuff, someone would come up to you and be like, hey, what's your YouTube channel? And that was like a it was like a constant barrage of people being like, hey, what do you do? And let's network.
How did people in that context react to you kind of working in the gaming field?
Yeah, there are some people. It's pretty interesting because there were some people there that were, that had an interest in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
One of the panels even was like a panel on they were playing D&D on stage, and half the panel had never played D&D before, or had never role played before. So there is a bit of crossover, but it felt separate like two separate things. And gaming in the YouTube space or the VidCon space was strictly like video gaming.
Oh, streaming, yeah, which is like enormous, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that was, there was like a distinction between the two. There wasn't any, there weren't a lot of people doing LARP on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, like if someone had a narrative, they would plan it out and they would script it out. It wasn't as... It wasn't as Dogma 95, I guess.
Right. That, like, capturing of a co-creative thing is totally different than, like, I have a campaign and I'm going to run it, but coincidentally people are going to look at it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's really interesting. Are people there, like, or I mean, Are you excited by that and the fact that you're doing something that's really different? Or are you like, hope anyone cares?
I think a little bit of both. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of LARPers on YouTube. Like Momo O'Brien's one of them. Mm-hmm. And she's great. I think actual plays being shown on camera, that's something that still needs to be worked on. Mm-hmm. That's something that's like not quite there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think there's still a lot of figuring it out. And I know we can figure it out because like I feel like not that long ago that's how I felt about tabletop role-playing games. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, no, it would be fun, but I feel like nobody's got it. And now lots of people apparently have it and they have like massive Twitch channels and stuff, right? So yeah. And there's been some really good stuff. Like I'm sure you've watched like Weekly Affirmations on Hyper-RPG and stuff like that. So there's a way to do it. People are doing it.
It's really good.
They have done it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And you're contributing to that too now, right? With doing it one particular way. Yeah. I'm just enjoying discussing this because it's like the future. like I'm sure no one could have suspected that watching a person you've never met before play a video game on YouTube would be an enormous like economical thing where that people are like making that not very many people are making their living off of, but people are doing that, right?
Must have been
a surprise to some folks and continues to be a huge surprise to some folks. So yeah, we can surprise them.
Yeah, Twitch is getting really big right now.
Do you ever think of doing stuff on Twitch?
Not at the moment. I think I'm not quite there yet with live stuff. Like I can't really, I feel like I need to work on developing like a live persona more before I can get out there.
Yeah.
Because I love editing so much.
Right.
It's just like letting go of something that I love doing.
That's a very good point, actually. Would you like to do Twitch stuff but be behind the camera?
Probably. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I can see that. Because there really are like two completely separate sets of skills, honestly, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, we go back to what you said earlier about like being a person of color in front of the camera means a lot. I mean, I'm saying that, like, what does that mean to you? Like, does that feel powerful or does that feel like you're...
Honestly, it's like a combination of I don't feel like I'm just... Just being in front of the camera feels lazy to me. Like, I feel like I'm not doing anything.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I'm just doing, like, stuff that I love doing, and I'm not actually being an activist by doing it. So, in that sense, I feel like I'm not doing a lot at all.
Yeah, there is that, like, weird guilt thing, too, where I'm like, I can probably be pushing this, like, a lot harder and, like, but I don't know. Yeah.
But maybe in the future, like, I feel like I would rather, in terms of being in front of the camera, that's, like, something I like and I, like, you know, enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actually pushing more, I don't want to say, like, an agenda. Let me think of a better way to say this.
No, push that agenda. That secret hidden agenda. It's a good one.
I feel like I'd rather help people develop their games and their projects behind the scenes. Like, I would rather, hire more people, or I would rather help publish other people's games than actually, like, that's the form of activism that I'm more interested in. Like, actually paying someone to do, you know, something that they love doing. And I honestly don't feel like what I'm doing is activism at all. Like, the LARP thing, I don't feel like it is, but I feel like I'm doing more activism through, like, we just hired a new artist for Yeah Diamonds, the board game. And she's also this, like, really amazing artist of color, and she's done a lot of stuff before.
What's her, can I plug her portfolio or something?
I'm actually not sure yet. We haven't, like, officially talked. Oh, wait, no. She got back to me today. Yes. it's Kat Fajardo. So
I'll send
you a link. that's like more of a thing for me than actually like doing something I love, like, which is LARPing. Like LARPing on camera.
I feel like it is also very tangible, right? And like, there's more to being an activist than necessarily being on a soapbox. Not that we don't need to like get up there sometimes, but like, right. There's really more and more like practical, immediate ways that you can help people than you know, just by sharing ideas. Important if the, you know, those ideas might
right.
be.
Exactly.
And, you know, representation and other kind of slightly more intangible things like that. You can also just pay people.
Yeah, exactly.
Help them out.
Yeah, that's always the best way.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. I don't know how much enough people appreciate it. So if you had this, like, ideal vision for Game and Akari, if you were just, like, 5 years from now, it would be here, and that would be, like, the best, and I would be so satisfied with that, what would that look like?
I don't know if I would ever be satisfied, to be honest.
Stay hungry.
Yeah, yeah, always.
Yeah.
But yeah, just having like a bunch of, just like a bunch of published games, like, mm-hmm. Just getting other people's names out there.
Yeah.
Like having a series of games that we can safely say that we've helped develop or helped market, that would make me happy. Mm-hmm. And also just working on what we love to do, like whether it's LARP on video or creating buttons for someone's business.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if we can just keep doing this 5 years down the road, then I'll be satisfied.
To continue to exist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you ever see it being a full-time gig?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love to do this full-time.
That's totally the dream, honestly. It's just like sustainability.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I can feel that.
Yeah, definitely.
I have an exciting bonus question. Are you doing something for the Itrasbi Menagerie that's coming out soon?
Yes, I am. I wrote a mini LARP for that.
Okay, tell me more.
It's called Grim Masks, and mm-hmm. It's based off of the Grim Masks in the original game, where it's a series of people who... Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, I keep doing that.
It's okay. I do it constantly. I'm like, hey, what's up?
So there are these characters in the game that are, that have distorted looking faces. They look like when you're about to sneeze and your face is stuck like that.
Forever?
Yeah. Right.
The worst curse. The ultimate curse. Yeah, yeah.
So they have been, basically, they're not allowed to, like, live with regular people. They live in Black Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is about being one of them. It's kind of like this meditative experience where you're more interested in the other players than yourself.
Mm.
And silence in between conversations is totally encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did the video for the Itrasbi Menagerie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is out right now.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. This is going up pretty soon, so that will probably all come together. That's great. All right. Last question, honestly. What was the most recent thing you played, and how do you feel about it?
I just played Before and After Silence with you.
Oh, that's right. We played that yesterday.
Yeah, we played that yesterday, and it was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I forget which was your...
For our
listeners who don't know, what is the premise of Before and After Silence?
Oh, so each person has a different card that they have to act out. And on the cards, they're basically your narrative. And you have to be quiet throughout the entire game. And you have to express yourself through, I think it was like a gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all given different gestures. Mine was we were all prisoners.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason why we're all prisoners was because one other player did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And once I figured out who it was, I would have to hate them a lot. So I was just like jumping around from person to person hating each other.
Cool, what a great way to spend a few hours, just right? Silent, seething rage.
Yeah. What was yours?
I had the card that was, we were all sex workers waiting for clients.
Right.
And one of us had been talking to the cops. And I was the only one who knew that, but I wasn't sure who it was. So I also had this like kind of mirrored like suspicion thing, but it was different because like these were all people who like I worked with and felt this affection for, and we kind of looked out for each other. So there was like this personal betrayal thing going on.
Right.
So yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It was a strange experience, right? But really cool. Was that your first time playing it?
No, I played it before and I totally forgot that I had, until like, I think we were like, in the middle of discussions, and I was just like, oh, wait a second, I've played this before. But yeah, it was like one of my first LARPs, and it was interesting seeing how I sort of evolved, and how the two experiences were completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was more, it felt like each character was trying to create a narrative, and trying to connect with one another. Whereas this one, it felt like everything was more internalized and there wasn't as much narrative building or communication necessarily involved. There was communication, but it wasn't so, it wasn't like the game depended on us communicating.
Right. Okay. That's really neat to see this like evolution of your own play style and your own understanding of how you play.
Yeah. It's great.
That's so cool.
What were your thoughts on it?
I enjoyed it. I had also played it before with a very like different group and a much smaller group as well. I played it with like 5 people, I think, and a different setup where they were all of the other players were my memories of former lovers. And so I was just having this like, just like daydreaming thing where I was like remembering my times with them. And that was... Yeah, so it was really interesting to see how they were different, right. and to just feel like a totally different mood. Like the last time I played, I was having a lot of like really intense like one-on-one interactions with people, like silent but intense. And then they would sort of be interrupted by someone else, and then I would go and like have a memory where I was with that other person. As we're in this one, I really felt like we were all together all at the same time, and so I was constantly kind of looking at everyone in the room and trying to like interpret, engage them, and that kind of thing. So. This one was, like, more exhausting in a way.
Yeah.
But it was still really interesting. It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool design, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah. I'll put a link to that as well. It's in the LARPs from the Factory collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have any more questions for you, unless there's anything else that you were just, like, burning to talk about.
No, not really.
Okay, cool.
I think we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we did. Like... I feel like we covered a lot of ground, which is very satisfying.
Yeah.
Well, if folks want to find you and keep up with what you're doing, where should they do that?
They can go on to gameandacurry.com, or they can check out our YouTube channels. So we have Game and a Curry on YouTube, and my personal YouTube channel that has my LARP on it, Banana Chan Video.
Awesome. So if people want to network with you, that's where they should go.
Oh, yeah. Just DM me. That's what the kids say these days, right?
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much for joining me. This was extremely fun.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Well, thanks so much to Banana for joining me. And as always, thank you for listening. Remember that if you want to get in touch, you can always email me or tweet at me. That's backstorypodcast@gmail.com or @backstorycast. Backstory is part of the One Shot Podcast Network. You can find more great shows at oneshotpodcast.com, including Campaign. Campaign is an ongoing actual play podcast in which Cat Cool GMs and a handful of improvisers largely ignore the Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing system to tell a story about love and family and doing very bad things in space. Check it out and let me know what you think. Music for Backstory is provided by Ujiko. The track is called Thinking of You, and you can hear more at soundcloud.com/UJICO. Talk to you later, heroes.